Trinity is not a word that you're going to find in the Bible. Read the whole thing through if you want. Use a computer to search for it if you have to. You won't find it there. It's just not a word that the Bible uses. But at the same time, I do not hesitate to say that those who deny the truth of the Trinity are not Christians at all. To reject the Trinity means that we cannot be saved. Period. Full stop. It is the most important truth of what it means to be a Christian. But how can you make such a bold statement? How can you say that it is that important? What makes this word Trinity so crucial to our faith? Well, because, Christians, it tells us who God is. And only by knowing God, who God is, will we have anything at all. If we do not know God rightly, we will have nothing. That's why it's so important. So where does that word Trinity come from then, if not from the Bible? Well, it's a word that the church invented a very long time ago. And it's a word made up of two parts. Tri, meaning three, like a tricycle, and unity. So a tri-unity, stick them together, you get Trinity. And I know that it's kind of an odd word to use, maybe not even the best word that we could use, but we can't think of anything better. And so this is simply the word the church has agreed to use. But it's not like some people were bored one day and decided to just start thinking up things about God, as if they pulled the word Trinity out of thin air. Rather, even though the Bible doesn't use the word, the truth that the word shows us is all throughout the scriptures. Sometimes it's very obvious, and sometimes it's not so obvious. Sometimes it's only just little hints that we see here and there. But the truth of what the Trinity shows us is all throughout. Take, for example, the very first words of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And a little bit later it says, "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light.'" If this was the only passage that we had, we probably couldn't see the Trinity very clearly. But it is there. We know that we can see it because of what else the Bible teaches us. In fact, all three persons are here right in the beginning. God the Father created the heavens and the earth. The Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters. And the Son, Jesus Christ, is the Word of God. So when God spoke, there the Son is as well. All three persons clearly right there in the very beginning of the book of Genesis. And we see who God is. Or move on a little bit later into Genesis, as God is getting ready to create man. And he says, "Let us make man in our image." Well, who's he talking to? He can't be talking to the angels, because the angels are his servants. Us and our implies something equal to God. So God can't be talking to them. They are lower than he is. So when God says us and our, he's talking to himself. We see one more little hint then of who God is. The eternal three in one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In fact, the word God in the Old Testament, most of the time, is actually plural. You could translate it literally as gods. In fact, there are some times in the Bible where it is translated as gods, like when talking about other gods. But the word, the plural word, is most often used to refer to the one God. And so we can see, even in the way that we talk about God throughout the Old Testament, that God is three in one. All these little hints are scattered throughout the Bible as long as we know what to look for. Of course, in the New Testament, this becomes a lot clearer. In fact, that's where a lot of the terminology that we use comes from, is from the New Testament. Take, for example, our gospel reading for today. Jesus says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." There it is, as plain as day. The three-in-one God. So even though the Bible does not use the word Trinity, Christians, the truth that Trinity confesses is all throughout. And that's why it's so important for us to use it. But it's also important for us, and we should insist on using it, because it shows us who God is. And knowing who God is important. If we don't know God rightly, we can't expect to get anything from him. We need to know that he is the Lord, because apart from him, there is nothing. Without him, we have no salvation. All good things come from him alone and from nowhere else. Jesus himself says, John chapter 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So we want to be sure. We want to be very specific about who this God is, because everything that we have and are depends on it. But that can be kind of difficult for us Christians, because we live in a time where people don't want to be specific. They're quite content with leaving God kind of vague. The kind of this vague God, this generic God that is out there that everyone can more or less agree on without saying anything in particular about him. We think that maybe it will help us to avoid trouble, that we'll stop fighting with one another, and if we're not real particular about anything, well, then maybe that will unite us. But there's a problem with that. And the problem is, if we don't know who God is in particular, how can we know that we have anything at all? If I say something, for example, that someone else who has a completely different idea of God can agree with, am I being specific enough about who God is? For example, if a Muslim could agree with what I'm saying about God, am I really talking about the one true God? Or if a Jew who denies that Jesus is God can agree with me, am I being specific enough? Or someone who believes that God is the universe, that he's just sort of out there, that he's not really a who, he's more of a what. But they can agree with the statement that they believe in God. Are we really saying what needs to be said? Or even groups which claim to be Christian and yet will say God is our mother. We need to be specific, Christians. Because if all of these groups and more can agree with us when we say, "I believe in God," and we don't say anything else, well, then you can see the problem. Fuzzy language can get us into trouble. And if we're not being specific, we may not have the right God at all. And I think this is something we should especially think about during this weekend, as we think about all the things that might be said about God. Take, for example, the phrase, "In God we trust." That's a very beautiful expression. It's something that we can hold on to as Christians, because when we say it, we know what we mean by it. We say, "In God we trust," the God who is the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and he is the one and only the one from whom we will receive all blessings. So yes, we can absolutely say, "In God we trust." There's nothing wrong with saying it. But let's be very clear, when we do say it, what we mean by it. Not just to ourselves, but also to other people. That we should say, you know, "In God we trust," and he is the God who has revealed himself in Jesus Christ. Let us make our prayers so that we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And let us show to everyone around us that we don't just believe in a generic God, but in the all and most holy Trinity, who is the maker of heaven and earth. We should be that specific so that people know what we're talking about. But why do I make a big deal out of this? Well, let's look at our Old Testament reading for today, Numbers chapter 6. Here in the Old Testament, God is giving to the priests a blessing that they were supposed to give to the people. But pay attention to the details here. Notice how each line in this blessing begins. The Lord. Now, if your Bibles may have the Lord there all in capital letters, because what we have here is the name of God himself, God's proper name in the Old Testament. You can say the Lord, you can say Jehovah, you can say Yahweh, however you want to say it, it's the same thing. It's not just a generic God, as if any God was bringing this blessing. Baal and Ashtaroth and all those false gods have nothing to do with this. Rather, it is the Lord specifically that brings these blessings. All good things come from him alone. And I'll also have you notice, too, that the Lord is repeated here in Numbers 6 three times. It's just another one of those little hints that we have throughout the Bible of the true nature of God. These blessings come from the Lord, who has revealed himself as the three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But what does this triune God promise to give Christians? He says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord is your keeper. He will guard you from all evil. He will protect your life. No evil will ever be able to overcome you. Nothing will ever take you away from the Lord. He will keep you safe all of your days. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. He is showing his favor to you, shining his light of goodness into your lives, so that you will be able to see by his word all the good things that he has done for you. By his light do we see light. The Lord be gracious to you. He shows you mercy. He shows you that undeserved grace in Jesus Christ, forgiving you your sins. It's not something that we earn, but something that God has given to us freely. And by that gift that we have in Jesus, we have salvation and every blessing. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Again, talking about the favor that he is showing towards us. If God was hiding his face, well, he'd be turning away from us. But God lifts up his face at you. He looks at you. He watches over you. He takes care of you all of your days and leads you in the right way. And finally, the Lord give you peace, a peace which the world can never know, the peace of being one with God, the peace of knowing that your sins have been forgiven, the peace of knowing that Jesus Christ is your Savior. All of these blessings and more, Christians, come from God, the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and no one else. Apart from him, we have nothing. But knowing him, we have great blessing, because there is no other name under heaven by which we may be saved. And that's really ultimately the point. We are specific about who God is, because all of these things come from him alone. Without him, we will not find blessing. We're not going to get blessing from some generic God, one that everybody can agree on. We will not find salvation in someone apart from Jesus, because he alone is the way to the Father. Those who deny the reality that God is the most holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, cannot be saved. That's simply all there is to it. But when we hold on to the truth of who God is, then we will find all of these blessings, because He alone is the Lord of heaven and earth. He alone is the one who is God. So we need to be specific. Be specific when you pray. Be specific when you talk to others about who God is, so that they may come to know Him by faith as the Most Holy Trinity and be saved. Let us pray. O God, who has revealed Yourself as the Most Holy Trinity, build us up in the truth and help us to always look toward You, because You are the source of every blessing. To You be all things, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.